Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
And welcome to Fat Mascara. I am Jess.
I'm Jen. I'm always Jen. I just yelled at Jess for banging on the table.
Because it gives me a little bit of a jolt, a charge. I feel like, you know, it's like I'm ready to start the show.
I'm sorry. I snapped. It scared me to bang.
I don't know why you freaked out.
I'm jumpy. It's busy in New York. People everywhere. Busy. It's that time of year where like the crowds are crazy.
We took a subway. We were basically like molecules like bouncing around. We couldn't bounce because we were just like packed in with a bunch of like freaks.
There is one positive to that. You don't actually need a pole to hang on to because you're just sort of like squished in.
And I couldn't fall if I tried. I think I was airborne at one point. Right? I was just supported by the puffy coats.
And it was the puffy coats too.
Oh, I couldn't even breathe.
Come okay. Visit us in New York if you're not in New York. We'll take you around the subway. We're very glamorous. You know what else we'll do? We got the Hollywood hookup.
Yeah, we really do the high-low thing like no one else.
Actually, what we're talking about today on this episode, we want to like fill you in on our first Hollywood premiere, which was in New York, like a movie premiere.
It was amazing.
Met some celebrities. We'll give you the dish.
So amazing.
And then facial asymmetry, which a lot of people have, and I want to talk about it personally, and I also want to share some scientific research with our listeners.
And then we have such a glamorous interview.
Yes.
Glamorous.
So chic.
We have Lucia Pica, the global creative makeup and color director for none other than Chanel, here in the studio. I mean, this is a lot of glamour for one episode.
High low.
We should have taken a black car here. I don't understand why we took the subway.
Yeah. I don't know if the Fat Mascara budget can handle that just yet.
not today.
Order those Cara vitamins and you'll be fine. Just so we can arrive in style. Kidding. Love you guys. Listen to the episode. So you guys, we scored a major invite to a movie premiere. It was Ben is Back, which is Julia Roberts' new movie.
Amazing. Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. I've actually never been to a movie premiere. Had you?
I've never been to a movie premiere. And I have to tell you, I felt like, you know, Charlie from the Chocolate Factory who won the golden ticket. Like, I felt so happy. I was like elated the whole night.
It was the weirdest thing. Jess and I get to go to a lot of like glamorous events, right? Like for beauty industry. We were out of our element, I felt, in the best way possible. No?
I have to to say, I don't think we were like, you know, like look, we didn't look out of our element, but we definitely were like, oh my God, this is so cool. Oh my God, this is so cool. In terms of, okay, I think when Jen says we're out of our element, this is what she means. First of all, we like scoot on over to like will call because that's where they keep the tickets. I feel like Jen, like you're like missing some of this like choice parts.
Yeah, yeah. Tell the story.
So we are invited. Thank you so much for inviting us. You know who you are. So we go, we get our will call tickets and we're like, you know, what time should we get there? We get there, like way too early. It's amazing. We go, we get them. And then we're wondering if there's food. Now the premiere was at like a regular movie theater, but one of the best in the city. It's like at Lincoln Center. And we're like, we're hungry. We should get some popcorn and soda.
And people are dressed up too, because everybody in the audience is like movie people, famous people, Diane Sawyer we saw in the audience. Who else? So
the actresses and actors in the movie.
The Long Island Medium. We'll get into that. Yes. Yeah. Like cool people.
So it was pretty fantastic. So we're like, gosh, we're starving. We've just come from work. So we're like, we crane our necks a little bit to see if there's any like free food. So
which is what we do at every beauty event.
None. So we go like, you know, up to the concession stands as usual.
We need our food. We got two Diet Cokes, two Diet Cokes and one popcorn.
$21.
$21. Okay. Later, fine. Everybody's had this experience.
Okay. I immediately promised to Venmo Jen right after.
Meanwhile, we're in like dresses and everything. It's fine.
Yeah, okay. We're properly dressed. So we get our stuff. We load it up with butter. And we go over to the place, okay? I'm like filling my soda, like, and I'm like still complaining about the money, okay?
You get in the line for the theater.
As the crowd shifts, only to reveal a large table filled with bags of popcorn.
Not the medium we got, the larges.
The larges.
All free.
And like cups. Like just so you could
go to the machine, get whatever soda you want, get two, get three.
I was fuming.
We just like looked at each other and I was like, I'm not going to go back over there with the receipt and be like, oh, excuse me, I'm VIP and there was free food and I didn't get it.
Oh my God, like schoolboy era. It was just like,
I'm sending my receipt to Julia Roberts for reimbursement. Anyway, it's just classic us. Like we're trying to be all glamorous and then like we ended up like.
We like paid. We're like the only two morons like paying at the premiere. We see the movie. Absolutely fabulous. You're on the edge of your seat the whole time. It's very intense.
I mean, very real look at the opioid crisis in America.
Yes.
An everyday way. This is no glamorous movie, but there were glamorous people there.
I mean, I really think this is awards material. So put it on your list. Then we go to the after party.
Which is at like Lincoln Center where they do the operas. It was at the Lincoln restaurant. I don't know, but you really did enjoy that buffet. There was like Italian like fanciness.
I had pasta. I had eggplant parmesan.
Do we sound like our mothers and fathers giving a recap? We're burying the lead here. What is the best part of the night?
We met one of the most important actresses of our time, beauty icon, and just all around fabulous person, Julia Roberts.
Who freaking schmoozed with us and is a beauty girl at heart, is she not?
She's a beauty girl. She, Serge Hermant is her hair stylist forever. If you saw Serge's book, she's on the cover. But it was basically like, it's like a little bit of like our icebreaker because, you know,
everybody loves products.
Yeah.
But of course I had to like class it up like a classic that I am. And so we told her that we had a podcast and we talked about some of the things we talk about the podcast. Why I couldn't talk about our glamorous guests, beautiful makeup. No. What did I bring up? Flushable wipes. She's like, oh, what have you talked about recently on the podcast? Of course, the first thing that comes to mind when Julia Roberts is staring you in the face with her freaking smile is like amazing. She like shoots star beams out of her eyes at you. And I was like, we talked about flushable wipes. And she was like, oh, like makeup wipes. I was like, no, like for your bum. But she said she had given her sons them in their Christmas stocking. So she knew what we were talking about. Let me just say she's a real woman.
She's very down to earth. She's so cool. And I have to say, you know, in our jobs, we meet a lot of different celebrities because everyone has a fragrance line. They're always the face of a line. But, like, I felt genuinely like, this woman's amazing. I am starstruck, but I actually want to keep talking and have a conversation. Obviously, there were a lot of other people there. We could not, like, you know, yammer on about beauty all day. But it was just such an amazing night.
But you were able to get us a photo because you knew Josie, who you used to work with, and he was standing with her.
Josie.
And he's like a doll. And he was like, hey, I could snap a photo with you. And I felt like kind of bad because no one was taking photos with her. But you know what? Whatever. She's a doll. And it was awesome. And we've had our Hollywood moment. Have we not?
You know, we led that Hollywood life for a night.
We're basically movie stars now.
We went Hollywood.
Yeah. So I know I've complained to you about this before, and I don't often bring up personal issues on the podcast.
Even though I wish you would.
Okay, so I'm doing that now, so bear with me. Can't all be about your sensitive eyes. So speaking of eyes, I've noticed lately in photographs that, you know what? Actually, it was a photographer who pointed this out to me. Thank you very much.
Oh, I know exactly.
So I was getting my picture taken, and he goes, you know, you're like a Picasso. And I was like, where is this going? Is this like a compliment? He's like, yeah, like that one eye is bigger than the other eye. And go Google some Picassos right now. It's actually quite a funny reference. But he's right. I've noticed in photos, I think it's as I've gotten older, that one of my eyes is significantly larger. Okay, not significantly, but I see it.
I'm looking at you right now, and I don't even know which one you're talking about.
Okay, ready? Look.
I swear to God, I don't know.
Okay, well, the right one is smaller and the left one is
your
bigger.
Your right one?
My like, right wait, one. This is the small one. This is the big one.
Okay, I don't see it, but okay.
Well,
maybe like if you're really tired or drunk or something.
Right. So, of course, it's me. So I wanted to get into the science of this. I was like, what is going on? I looked back at pictures when I'm younger, and I don't see the same thing that I see now. And then my dermatologist, Dr. Heidi Waldorf, did an Instagram post about a study, and I looked up the study, and guess what? There is a very highly significant correlation between age and facial asymmetry. Mm. So as we are all getting older, we are also getting more asymmetrical.
Oh, that's charming.
Isn't that weird?
It's God, like as if we don't have to look out for.
I know.
Great.
So the thing is, mostly it affects even more the lower half of your face. But I feel like with your eyes, that's where people go first. So they look at it. So I did some. What were you going to say?
I could probably see that happening with my nose because I have a deviated septum and I notice it more as I get older.
But I feel like you have one nose. So even if one side does something, it's still not as obvious as if like one big a Picasso. I mean, I'm not Forrest Whitaker over here, but like, come on.
Wait, does Forrest Whitaker have a.
He has one eye that's bigger than the other, no?
You know what? I need to Google him.
Okay. Everybody else is Googling him right now. Okay. But so I don't know. I also keep remembering, and this is just going to go into a weird medical place, a story I read in Glamour magazine maybe a decade ago about this woman who had photographs showing her eye was just like seemed to be getting bigger, one of them, and one of the smaller. It turns out she had a brain tumor behind her eye, and it was pressing on it, making it bulge out.
So did you look into this? Did you go to the doctor to like...
No, it's not that bad. I'm sure I don't have a brain tumor. I'm not crazy like that. But I am going to talk to my dermatologist because a lot of women get this fixed with Botox, really. So I was like, maybe getting Botox is what's doing this to me. Like one of the muscles is getting a little weaker. So I have to get into the bottom of this. But I just wanted to talk about how, like, if you've noticed that in your face, it's totally normal.
Well, I have something like you may think this is like a little funny, but I have like a fat side. So my right thigh is like fatter than my left thigh.
Like body asymmetry.
Yeah. Like, and not so much that, like, please, like, anyone who's, like, close to me that sees me on a regular basis, like, please don't, like, take a real good gander. But, like, my right thigh is a lot fatter than my left one. Like, if I were, you know, wearing, like, no pants,
but I feel
you
like
could see.
That might be even more normal because I remember when I used to do fitness and I was a fitness editor and we would do, like, makeovers and body measurements. Like, nobody's thighs were the same measurement, both thighs.
But I feel like mine is, like, it's enough that it annoys me.
Do you notice it in a photo?
Well, I don't take too many photos of my pants off.
You're the only person that doesn't.
You know, and like, you know, we can talk about this in another episode more in depth because I think it deserves its own segment. But breast asymmetry is extremely, extremely common.
Actually, that's very
most women.
Significant. I've always had that. That has never bothered me
like
for some
reason.
Like
a full cup size is almost
normal
for a lot of people. And I'm actually surprised, just like sidebar, like now I'm just like a little bit of like a side rant. I'm really excited about like how Third Love is done like half sizes, but I'm like waiting for the bra company to do like
interchangeable cups.
Completely.
Like you get a B on the left and a C on the right.
You got it.
Because why does no one do that? They do it for if you've had a mastectomy on one side.
But most people are not like the same boob. Boobie size.
Is this our $1 million idea almost as good as your ice cream parlor combo makeup studio?
Yeah, that hasn't taken off yet. Yeah. Guys, Guys, don't steal it. Okay.
Now so, it is an ice cream parlor makeup studio that sells bras where you can get a different cup
mix
size.
Mix and match, baby. Okay. You want floral on one side, polka dots on the other.
Why
okay.
not? And maybe get a little Botox to fix your eye asymmetry while you're at it.
So you see what I mean? And then also, this is just like kind of a funny thing. When I get my allergy shots, I think I was telling you about this the other day, my right, this, the fat side, when I get it on the right side, I like scream to the high heavens. When I got on the left side, it's nothing. So
weird.
Like my right side is just all kinds of wonky. My left side is fine. So I just think like there is something to this kind of, you know, bodies are weird.
Yeah. The one thing I will say in this study that did make me feel better, I used to always remember that this, I don't know where this myth came from, that the most symmetrical faces are the most beautiful in nature. And like they would always talk about Kim Kardashian, Christy Turlington being very symmetrical. And this study actually talks about how no, a little bit of asymmetry is actually perceived to be more beautiful because it's less robotic. There's not that uncanny valley of like, is that person real or a robot or, you know what I mean? Think about
totally.
It like an androidy kind of look to a person.
Creepy.
It's not beautiful.
It's unsettling.
Yeah. So I'm coming around to it, but I still do want to have my derm check it.
Look at like Brad Pitt or like I was watching. Remember I was talking about that show the other day, like Escape from Dannemora.
Yeah.
Like Benicio Del Toro's in it. And
he's very asymmetrical.
He's so asymmetrical and he's so hot.
But like that has like pirate swagger on a dude. But when you put it on a woman, I don't know. So.
I feel like there's some swaggery ladies.
Okay, well, I'm like, just going to rock my asymmetry.
Yeah,
then.
I feel like, I don't know.
I'll get an eye patch and that would be super cool. I'll just cover up the tiny eyes.
Stop it. I don't know. I think it's swaggery. Okay. I'll just go with it.
All right. Well, there was research and some service for you guys behind this, and that is you're not crazy. Your face is getting more asymmetrical, but you know what? That's beautiful too.
Yeah, just go with it.
Jess, it's that time of year where everybody needs to be thinking about what to get me for the holidays. Have you done it yet?
I'm still thinking.
Okay, here's an idea. Knipe makes the most beautiful bath and body products. I like their mineral bath salts, the bath oils, the shower foams that come in those lovely, colorful cans, and everything smells so good.
But it's not just good for, like, you know, aesthetically pleasing. It's also really good for your body. This stuff has magnesium, calcium, zinc. Talk about self-care. It's really going to ease your muscles and soften your skin.
Plus, everything is botanical-based, and I know you like that it's also vegan.
It's good for the animals.
So it's a great idea for anybody on your list or yourself. And now for a limited time only, if you guys want to get 15% off your first order, go to Kneipp.com, that's Kneipp.com, and use the promo code mascara. Again, for 15% off your order, go to Kneipp.com, Kneipp.com, and use the code mascara. Hey guys, it's Jen, and guess what? I'm getting married.
Yay!
I'm already stressed about it. It's happening in the spring. Haven't figured anything out, but what I do know is I'm going to be using Zola.com because it's the easiest way to help plan your wedding. They let you build a registry. They let you design a website with all the little sections you need for all your guests. And already 500,000 couples have used Zola to make a free website.
As somebody who has just gotten married, I have to tell you the FAQ thing is essential. People will have questions up until the bitter end, like, can I bring my kids or do I have a plus one? Also, the fun part, there is a registry that lets you pull from many different retailers so you can shop till you drop.
Oh my God, I haven't even thought about doing a registry. This is stressful, but I'm going to use Zola. It's going to be easier. If you guys want to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to Zola.com/mascara. That's Zola.com/mascara, and you'll get $50 off your registry, and it's free to build your wedding website.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Everyone, Chanel is in New York City. That's right. Or more specifically, Chanel's global creative makeup and color designer, Lucia Pica. She's an extraordinary makeup artist who works for like every magazine under the sun, Vogue, ID, another magazine. You also do Chanel's fashion shows, Chanel's advertising, somebody named Miss Penelope Cruz. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you're in New York because truly Chanel is in New York. You guys did a huge fashion show this week, right?
Yes, yes. We did a fashion show last night.
Oh, it was just last night. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just last night.
And how did it go?
Really, really well. I'm so excited about it. And
your looks that you created were amazing. Before we get into your career, I have to say, you painted the legs of the models gold.
Yes.
Whose idea was that?
Carl's.
Okay.
Yes.
And then when you're like, Carl, I can't do it.
No, I was like, oh, sure.
How far in advance did he tell you that he wanted that? Hopefully I gave you some fair warning.
I went to see him probably a week before we did the trial. And I already knew this because Virginie, he's... head of design called me up to say, so I got all my products together and went to see them with it, and we did a little trial on the model, and he was very happy. He said it was the right gold that he wanted, so that's good.
So are we going to see a new Chanel product, like gold spray, leg spray coming out?
Maybe.
I don't know.
We have to check on the commerciality of that.
Yeah, we're not sure if that's going to be a big seller.
Big marketing thing.
But even the eyes were great. You did those graphic, cool eyeliner shapes around the eyes.
Yes. Those were, like, you know the inspiration was Egyptian. The collection was inspired by that. So I kind of felt like it was, nice to tell a little bit of the story, but take it somewhere quite modern and, in fact, a little bit futuristic, because they have this kind of aerodynamic feel about them, the lines. And I chose the black and white, and then the blue was one of the colors in the at the bottoms of the collection, and, of course, the gold. There was only one man with the gold eyes.
Oh.
I don't know if you noticed.
I didn't.
Yeah.
How did they get picked? How did you decide who got the gold?
Just because it just looked good on him.
I didn't know if he was special. He's like a Bond villain, yeah, or something.
And then I had a model's list, and I thought, by instinct, like, she will look good in white or black or blue or,
Yeah, it looked amazing. Done.
Yeah, as a feeling.
So doing, the makeup for a Chanel fashion show is only one part of your job.
Yes.
And if you hear that job title that we just said you have, I'm sure people are like, what does she
what
do?
Exactly
what
do
you do? So what exactly do you do?
So I create all the makeup collections for Chanel. So I do, I think, about 7 or 8 collections a year. The spring, summer, autumn, Christmas, and lip collection, eye collection, and so on.
Sounds like a dream job.
It is, actually. It's quite fantastic because I get to work on the inspirations for the collections. I get to work on the textures. I get to work on the colors. And then everything kind of goes on the model's face for the advertising campaign. And that's another exciting part of it, too. So it's kind of like from before zero, from nothing, until when it goes onto a woman's face.
Are they always informed by the collections? Are they kind
like
of
the
just
fashion?
Yeah, or is it sometimes you're just like, you know what, I'm feeling like, blue skies or, yeah, like, velvets?
they are not actually informed by the fashion because they are 6 months ahead of themselves. Do you know how, when the collection comes out? But we work 1.5 years beforehand.
So you're working on a completely different calendar than fashion.
Yes,
that's freeing.
Yeah.
Or scary.
And that's like confusing. But also, like in January, I will be working on autumn 2020.
Mm.
So I'm kind of not living in the now as such.
So you're predicting the trends. You're making the trends, I guess, in a way.
Sometimes that happens. But I think what I do, I just go with my instincts a lot. And I go with the, you know, I look at the history of the brand and what's kind of been inspiring for that, what the codes are.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I've been doing this kind of inspirational travel journeys. I don't know if you've seen any of them, but some of the collections have been inspired by those travels that I've done. I've done one in California, one in Naples, which is the city where I come from. Another one that is coming out in spring is...
As she looks over at her publicist, am I allowed to talk about it?
Can I talk about it?
She got the okay.
I went to Tokyo and Seoul. So I go with a photographer and a director, mm-hmm. and we go around on a very sort of like organic feeling. We go around and take pictures and videos of the places where we go to. And we create this kind of story. Which is the beginning of the collection. So then there's a book made and a video made. There is the inspiration of the collection. Then I take these photographs to the studio where I work in Paris, and I put them up, and with my team, we start sort of like picking up the colors that come out more in the photographs, and they start becoming products.
Very so this cool. nail polish that yeah. doesn't even exist yet might have been from a photo you took in Seoul.
Yes. Exactly. So I'm like, oh, this photograph is so attractive. This orange is so perfect for a nail varnish or for a lipstick, or this will make an amazing eyeshadow, or, you know. So I just start getting inspired and I start creating the collection. So it starts from a really kind of abstract place. And sometimes I go on these trips and I'm like, I don't know what, you know, the first time when I went, we went on a road trip to California, and we were on traveling on a Big Sur, and everything was kind of just like blue and mm-hmm. green and brown. And I was like, I don't know where this collection is going. And then as the sun went down, all the skies started giving us a lot of this like crazy oranges and like dark blues and dark greens. So it kind of started becoming more exciting in terms of colors, and that one of the orange in the sky became a bright lipstick, and then, you know, so on. So
were you always really like very into aesthetics? Like, when did you realize you wanted to, you know, throw yourself into this business? Like, did you always realize you wanted to be a makeup artist?
No, I didn't. I just, when growing up in Naples, I kind of didn't even know that this was a career path, to be honest. Jobs didn't really feel like so fun. And I moved to London when I was 22, and a friend of mine that was working for a PR company, she suggested that I do a makeup course because she felt like I did my makeup well and I was very interested in fashion. And so she was like, maybe you should do that. Maybe you should do this course. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll try it, you know. And I did this month course at this place called Grease Paint. And they have a little agency.
Grease Paint.
Mm-hmm. And they have a little agency. And so you kind of, after you do the course, they send you on job experiences. And I went to do the makeup for the extras on Die Another Day, the movie.
Die Another Day. Wow.
Yeah, a Bond movie that was happening at the time. And then I just kind of like started to get really, really obsessed with it. And so then I started assisting a lot of makeup artists. I started working in makeup shops until I started to assist Charlotte Tilbury.
So, okay, you're working in like just retail shops, like you're a counter girl or?
Yes, in this shop called Pout,
mm-hmm.
that was it doesn't exist anymore in London. And then I also worked in Shuamura,
mm-hmm.
in that time. And then I would just, you know, call up every agency and every makeup artist that I came across to see if I could assist them.
And then you landed with Charlotte?
After a while, yeah, I landed say, in Shanghai. Yeah, it was not.
It takes a little bit to get there. So what was that like? So obviously you were quite good that you could, you know, you're assisting Charlotte. I mean, she, I feel like a lot of her assistants have ended up, you know, really going to.
Doing well.
Doing really well. What was that experience like?
Well, Charlotte is amazing. I love her. And I
spill the tea.
She's a good friend of ours. She's been on the podcast.
She came on this podcast. She was amazing. She brought champagne. She taught us about life.
Which is so much fun.
She brought her own champagne.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we got any. It was for her and her team, I think.
No, she gave some to her team and us.
Yeah.
But it was really fun. She stayed for a really long time.
But she's a Charlotte. She loves life. I was very happy to work with someone that loves life so much. And she's an incredibly talented woman. But it wasn't like, I just happened to work with Charlotte. I was obsessed with her work, like literally obsessed with her work. I called her agent for a year every 2 weeks saying that I wanted to work with. But I did it in this kind of naive way because I don't think I realized that probably a million people were calling her every day to work with Charlotte.
You thought that you were like, I'm her biggest fan.
I really like this makeup. I'm her biggest fan. I should be working with her.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a kind of like really like naive way. And then her agent, Aisha, she in fact became my agent afterwards. So it's like a nice story. But yes, so I was obsessed with her. And after a year, Aisha called me finally saying that Charlotte needed somebody to work on a show in London with her. And I was like, yes, of course, I'm available. I'll drop anything. And I went and did it. And, you know, we got on well. She liked me. So she asked me to be on her shows for about 2 years until she then needed a first assistant. And I started being a first assistant.
What does that mean?
It means that you travel with her, that you work probably 24/7 with Charlotte. And this is like the kind of experience that, you know, it's priceless. You can't pay for it. And, you know, it's not something that you can learn either at school or by yourself. You're put in situations that you wouldn't even imagine. And you learn the nuances of the job, which are the most particular ones and the ones that make, you know, someone really amazing at what they do.
So did you take that job, first assistant?
So you went
around the world with her.
Okay,
wow. Something you learned.
I think I learned.
You're talking about these nuances. So, like, what does that mean? Besides, like, obviously, not just the technical skill.
Well, the technical skills, the sort of like behaviors that you need to have on like photo shoots and fashion shows. And like you kind of like put a gear up. Mm-hmm. You just have to have, you know, you have to be faster. You have to be quick thinking. You have to find solutions really, really fast. And you just have to be a step ahead. And for her, I had to be a right-hand person. So I needed to know what she was thinking beforehand so I could have it ready for her so she could do the best, you know, job she could.
So who is the best, and you don't have to mention, I feel badly asking this question right after mentioning Charlotte, but the best boss that you've had, or what have you learned the most from one of the bosses that you've had?
No, but she's the main person that I think I've learned.
What did you learn from her then?
Do you sleep in your makeup as well? Just
no, I don't. I don't. She's so funny.
She's not kidding, right? You've seen her sleeping.
No, she's not kidding.
She walks the walk. She talks the talk. Yeah.
No. She's like that. She's great. She's amazing. Yeah.
So after you put in your time assisting her and going on set,
and she was really supportive as well. So she sort of helped me, you know, get an agent afterwards, and you know, so I went with her agent that has looked after me until now. So,
And so now that you are doing your own thing,
yes,
very well, I might add. When you know, you talked about how you take photographs when you travel, and that inspires you. But you're not just creating collections; sometimes you're just doing an editorial look.
Yeah,
what inspires you besides, you know, beautiful makeup and travel? Like artists and musicians, what's really inspiring you these days?
When you do a photo shoot, it's very much of a teamwork. So I'm very lucky to work with people
of the same kind of like wavelength and stuff. So you kind of inspire each other, but also, you know, there are artists that I love, like Cy Twombly and Georgia O'Keeffe and Louise Bourgeois, watercolors, Rodin. Normally, there's artists that have got this type of sort of like a real emotional kind of approach to their art. It's not about the techniques so much, but you know, the, their well, it is technique as well, of course, but their work is very much, you just, you know, feel so much when you're looking at those things, and the colors are so intense or just watered down that it really transmits something quite emotional to it.
And do you try to do that with your makeup looks that you create?
I sometimes do, yes. Especially intensity of color is super important when I do makeup. And texture is so important. And texture and colors really go hand to hand with me. There's a support mechanism between one another. So it's about the intensity of certain textures and the perhaps the opposition between them, the opposition of matte and shine, and how they can sculpt a face and how they can like really grab you in when you look at a picture. You know, I don't know, I'm thinking now about a picture that I did, and it had this really strong matte red eyeshadow and matte blurry lips with those white lines on the face. And it was, I just did it for the Chanel Instagram, actually, but it was an editorial, and it just one of those pictures that make you kind of it's a little bit what's the word, subversive and a little jaggering, is that a word?
Jarring.
No. Jarring.
But I like jaggering.
Jaggering. What did that
like
come
you
from?
You have to look twice. You're like, is it ugly or pretty?
Is
or
it
just
ugly
amazing?
Or pretty? It's moving me in some way, but which way? Yeah,
but that's a good
for me,
thing.
For me, it's a good thing, and it talks about depth, and it talks about movement, and it talks about all those things, and these things attract me a lot, and I find them beautiful. But some people don't. But that's okay, because I think, you know, we don't all have to have one vision of beauty. We can just be, you know.
Oh, have you been questioned? Have you been on Instagram lately?
Yeah. I know, but I'm not, you know,
this isn't your vibe. So, speaking of your vibe, I do.
Sorry.
No, of course. I do.
Ruthie's telling me.
There's a homogeneity to a lot of makeup we see, and I think your work stands out because it's not that. In fact, I remember when I first met you in the it might have been your first collection for Chanel, and there was so much red.
You came to Naples? To London?
No, when you presented it in New York. And there was red eyeshadow. Okay. And this was a couple years ago. We've talked on our podcast about like pink and red on the eye. Women were scared. A lot of women still are of red.
Yes.
What's with you in red? Seriously. I remember you're like, oh no, matte red eyeshadow. Everybody can use this. And everybody in the audience was like, okay.
But okay, wait, I've got to defend myself.
Of course.
This situation, because the red eyeshadow was paired with taupe eyeshadow and brown eyeshadow. So
Did they
the
make
opportunity.
You do that?
No.
Did someone say?
No, they didn't. No, that was the most uncompromised collection that I made. I still to this day would do it all over again. Mm-hmm. So they really let me do whatever I wanted, which is, you know, sometimes like, oh wow.
Kind of unheard of
really
for
trust
a big
me
company.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they really support creativity, which is good. But so I paired it with the taupe and the brown, because the idea of that quote was to be able to mix them, so to graduate the red. So sometimes, you know, some people wouldn't want to go so strong or so like editorial in a way, and they wanted to make it more wearable, so they could mix it with the taupe or the brown. So you just had a hint of the red, and the red is actually really good to bring out the color of your eyes, especially green eyes.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting she pointed at the eyes.
You put red eyeshadow on a redhead?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
So there is something pragmatic about red eyeshadow.
And you know that Kristen Stewart told me that actresses used to use red eyeliner in order to make themselves look more sort of like emotional in camera.
Really?
So it's like been used.
Where would they put it though? Like how would they use the red eyeliner?
Inside the eyes.
On the waterline?
Again, we need to get you on the pencil on the waterline.
I just think. Okay, here's a question. Just a little quick sidebar. I'm sure when you put liner on the waterline for some of your clients or, you know, models, whatever, Don't some people react badly and you're like, oh, this didn't go well?
Like they water?
Yeah, like some people with more sensitive eyes.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, and you're like, this was not a great idea.
Yeah, some people can't. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm that person.
Oh, you are that person. Well, I'm sorry for you.
Sorry, you kind of
that's
look.
Why Kristen Stewart is famous, and yeah,
that's why.
The only reason.
I feel like you should go through the pain sometimes.
But then what if you end up with like a sty or something disgusting a week later? Good. It's like, was it really worth it?
It depends what you're doing. I don't know.
For the craft.
Exactly. Okay, so back to red.
I get it, wearable. But I just feel like you have this thing with the color, because even if you look through your portfolio, the red lip, the red eye, are you drawn to it as like the Italian in you? Is it passion, or is it just a beauty color that's always good?
I don't know. I think I just have an obsession with it.
Yeah.
She's Italian.
I don't know. As I said it, I was like, isn't there like red in the
Italian?
There's red in the Italian flag. I don't know.
Oh my God. Tomato on the pizza. I
know. Spinning a pizza. Like.
Tomato sauce. I did not. Spaghetti. I did not even think of that.
Lucia, tell me why you use the.
Can you imagine you go to Chanel for the next collection? I'm inspired by the marinara. We're going to do marinara makeup. This is so
oh my God. Going off the rails.
Well, it was a beautiful collection. I did really.
There's
like
even a red eyeliner, but that one I put a little bit of bronze through it. So
I do like a kind of like ambery reddish, like garnety. Garnet. Yeah.
Can you put that in your waterline?
No.
No.
Lucia.
Oh, God. So you're all about these saturated colors, but my next question was, a lot of women are scared of saturated colors and bold colors.
I don't know if they're saturated so much.
Or just...
They're bold.
They're bold. Yeah. Thank you. Better word. That's right. English is
because they actually have a really round and a sort of like wearableness to them, and like an undertone that will, it's not like primary red so
true.
Much. Maybe for editorials it is.
Right, like my favorite lip color, Experimenté.
Yeah, it's got some brown underneath.
It's like, people are like, that's a red lip, but it's not.
It's not
it just
really,
somehow
no, it's more
in.
Like brick red.
So what do you tell women though when they are not even willing to do that? Is there any way you could like baby step into... Bold
yes.
color.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do it slowly with new products for Chanel. I mean, before I used to do it, just dab a little bit on your lips so it's a little bit more see-through, and then you know, with time you can like go bolder and bolder. Mm-hmm. But now there's the liquid powder lipstick that has just come out, and it's literally a liquid powder. Yeah. That's why it's called that. And when you put it on, it kind of creates this veil mm-hmm. on your lips, and it's really easy, and you don't need a lip liner, and it kind of gives you this also a little blurry line around your lips, so you don't actually feel like you're wearing a super defined bold lipstick. It's a good introduction to wearing a bold color with a thin texture, so it doesn't feel so like a strong commitment.
So it's not just about the hue, it's about the texture.
I think it's about the texture too. Okay. I think they go hand in hand very much. Okay.
And you'd mess
much.
It up if you put pencil with that, right? Because that defeats the purpose.
Defeats the purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what about women who just like, they're flat out, they're like, I'm not a red person, don't wear red. Like, are there some people that you think like, listen, you just have to respect it, they're not a red person? Or like they're just not.
I mean,
a
I do try
person.
And convince them. I don't give up.
Like,
that
what do you
easily,
say? Yeah, what do you have? What do you say to them?
I just say like,
there's
first
a lot
of all,
them out there.
Your lips are naturally red, so I don't know what you're talking about.
It's true. You're just intensifying what nature gave you, right?
When I was little, and I wasn't allowed to wear makeup. I used to bite my lips so much, so that the sort of like color red would come to the surface.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. She's committed to her craft. Okay, so if we were to go in your makeup kit right now, like backstage or when you're on an advertising set, what's the weirdest thing that we would find in there? Is there anything that's like not even makeup?
I don't know. I've been thinking about this, if I have anything weird in there, but...
I know you I like a pointy really. Q-tip. You said
I
that.
I definitely like a pointy Q-tip. But is that weird for a makeup
artist?
No,
but I don't think every woman carries those around.
But tell
no.
me, you were mentioning before we started recording, I was asking you about this amazing look. And guys, I'm sure you've seen it because it's on like every bus stop, at least in New York. The Penelope Cruz in my obsessed, the Chanel hat with the little like chain thing. Yeah. Okay, it's Penelope Cruz, little hat. And she's wearing like almost like a no makeup makeup look.
I really have to tell you, she has makeup. Eyeliner in a waterline.
I know. Okay, but no makeup, makeup look, but amazing eyeliner that's just defining her eyes ever so slightly. But it's eyeliner in her lower waterline, right?
Yes, in the lower waterline and throughout the lash line on the top.
On the top and throughout the lash. So you said that what you did was you used these pointy Q-tips, right? To
so
kind of just explain it.
I'll explain it again. So I used the Stila U waterproof eyeliner because it stays on really well, and so you go and draw in from the inner corner to the outer corner of the top lash line through the lashes as well as a little bit on the what do you call that lid.
Okay.
But then
between the hairs,
between the hairs,
so you're poking, right? You're like dotting. You're not dragging,
like back and forth,
scribble,
wiggle,
scribble,
wiggle, 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 dot, wiggle, dot, wiggle, dot, wiggle.
And you don't have to worry.
Can I be on your team? It sounds like maybe you need a first assistant to travel the world with you
to give me the words.
Okay. Actually, that actually sounds like not a bad job. Okay. Okay, go on.
So you can do that and not worry so much about being precise, and then get a little pointy Q-tip with, cleansing water.
Okay.
And clean it off, and then you have just that.
So it's like the Q-tip is just as important almost as the liner.
Yeah.
I always like beat myself up. Like if I don't get it right, I'm like, I suck. I'm the worst makeup artist ever. Just wash it all off. I guess it's just a mascara a day. But
just clean it up and then.
Just clean it up.
Yeah.
That's such a great tip.
Yeah.
And then do you put eyeshadow on after that?
Yeah, what else
is
did
this
you
before
do?
Or after the eyeshadow?
Oh, good question.
I think I just put eyeshadow, cream eyeshadow in the socket line, a little bit of brown eyeshadow in the socket line, because this was very much about shades and definition.
Because you knew it was going to be black and white?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, it was really just about Penelope and you know what she's about, and so just have all like her sort of features coming out, and she's all about this like beautiful dark eyes, the hat,
like the mouth,
and the eyebrows, and then the texture of the skin was quite luminous.
Yeah, what was the foundation?
It was the La Palette Essentielle. I just used concealer.
Penelope,
and then
a
little
foundation.
Bit of highlighter and the Baume Essentiel, which is not out yet, but is this amazing.
Oh, we got a sneak peek.
Yes, sneak peek.
Can I just tell you guys, get ready. It's like the
new
greatest.
New essential.
It's like I can't even explain what it is. It's like every balm combined in one without shimmer.
You've seen
but
it?
Somehow highlights.
Oh.
Yes.
Highlighter 2.0, baby.
There's two versions
it's the best
of it,
thing.
Too.
It's so good.
It's a little Ciate Dewy Sticks. A little Pat McGrath, the one end of the old one that was made in Italy.
Yes.
It was the copy of the Italian one.
It is. Honestly, it's. I have one product on my desk right now, and that's
Same. It's in my
computer.
Is it
the clear one or the sculpting one?
It's
the one with
the
leadership.
I like the other one, the more opalescent one.
Yeah. They're both really nice. The clear one,
we're yin and yang, Jess and I, so we have different needs.
Fine. But also you can use them at different times. You don't have to commit to one. You can have both.
You got
to
get the other
one. It is.
But can I give you a trick about the
the
transparent one?
Yeah.
Because you can use it on your eyes, on your face, and on your lips, and every part of your face. But every time I want to have a little bit of a sort of fresh, youthful, smoky eye, I put a little bit of brown and then I put the balm on top.
Brown what?
Brown eyeshadow with the balm on top.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of feels all a bit more dewy and sensual and highlighted.
You put brown powder shadow or you put brown cream shadow?
I would say cream.
And then you pat the clear balm on top.
I'll just go with the balm on.
Hmm.
And sometimes you can put it in the inner corner to do a soft highlight. But you know when you want it to look like it's you, mm-hmm. highlighting, mm-hmm. not the makeup mm-hmm. showing?
Yeah.
That's a good one for that.
There are very few products that I would recommend to everyone, and this is one of those. It's like toothpaste.
So
you know what I mean? Like, you just need it.
So happy.
Should that be the Chanel tagline? It's like toothpaste.
No, you just like, need it. Yeah, just like, just get it.
I think it's February it comes out. Like, soon. We'll
yeah. January.
When it's actually available, we'll remind you.
Save that money.
Thank you.
You did talk about fresh, and which makes me think about skincare. And I feel like every makeup artist says this, and I'm always like, but really, how important is the, like, oh, she's nodding already. Yeah. How important is the prep? Like, what do you do to prep a face?
Do you want to, you have to have the best canvas to work on.
Yeah. And so Penelope got a lot of skincare before you put color on, right?
Yes. I tend to use a moisturizer and an oil mixed together and do a really good massage and sort of like get the skin really, really soft.
How many minutes of massaging?
Not that much.
Okay.
Under a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of minutes, maybe.
What does that do? It just brings warmth to the skin?
Yeah. It makes, you know, it just kind of like you makes the product penetrate into the skin, and I scrub the lips, I put a lip balm on, and I groom the brows, and all of that preparation is super, super important.
Before you even pick up a color.
Yeah.
On yourself, though, in the morning, you're not doing all that, are you?
Probably putting more products on. I've put a serum and moisturizer mm-hmm. and then a UV.
Which ones? It's okay if they're not Chanel.
Yeah.
Cover your ears, Chanel publicist.
I have a mix. So I use the Suzanne Kaufman eye cream. Mm-hmm. And then I use the... I can't remember the... The Vintner's Daughters.
Vintner's Daughter.
I love that this oil. It's the best. And they're good. So nice.
It's so funny. It's like coming up constantly.
No, it's the best.
It's different than other oils. I don't know how, but it is.
It lives up to the hype.
It penetrates the skin better because I think it's got finer
molecule sizes. Also smells so good.
It's mm-hmm. super nice. And I mix it with Solution 10. That cream is amazing because
that's the one that they did. Chanel developed for like sensitive skin. Only 10 ingredients.
Yeah,
good concept.
Yeah. And then I always use this UV base sunscreen.
That little shaky one.
No, the one in the tube.
Oh, okay.
And we'll it's got a little pearlescence finish mm-hmm. to it, and so it makes it. You know, it's a great base because it illuminates the skin already.
Mm-hmm. This is very refreshing that you're a makeup artist who likes makeup. Sometimes I feel like people behind the scenes use so little of it because like they're putting it on everyone else. You know what I mean?
Like such a bore.
No, I know.
Right? They're so boring, some of them. The worst.
You have access to all this makeup and you're not going to put it on your face.
It's like, it's like, why did we like talk to you?
Yeah, they're like, I just put a little oil on and I'm good to go.
I'm fully made up, thank God.
I'm joking. No, it's like sometimes it's like... makes me feel like I'm silly because I'm still excited about it. It's like, I don't actually think I'm silly, but like, it's like, oh, okay, like, you're too cool now. You know.
It's okay to be excited about makeup. This woman makes her living doing this. So.
Yeah.
No, I still get these moments like on the internet and I start ordering all the skincare. Oh my God.
Is there any brand or makeup? It doesn't have to be Chanel that you're like really excited about right now, or like hair, anything. Like, is there anything that's really exciting you in beauty right now?
I just got the new Sisley hair products, the shampoo and the
Ritual.
Oil. The Ritual.
Expensive
I love
taste. That. She
expensive taste. Mean.
It seems to be working for her though.
Yeah.
Did you hear my title?
But they
are really, really good.
Do you have any like interesting hobbies? Like, besides when you're not doing like, you know, all your Chanel stuff, like what else do you do? Is there anything that people would be surprised to know about you?
Yes.
I've done about 5 watercolors in my life, and I say that I've got this as a hobby, but I've only done like a few.
Okay.
What were they of? What are you abstract or?
They're cute. They're like flowers, but they
in my head I was like, it's George O'Keefe.
No, nowhere near. But they're sweet. They're on my Instagram.
Okay. How do you relax? Like after you had the big Chanel show this week,
I had a drink.
Ooh, what's your drink of choice? A vodka?
last night I had a vodka soda.
Ooh.
And three hot dogs at the Chanel Diner. I was so hungry.
Wait, the Chanel Diner?
Yes.
What's the Chanel Diner?
There was a party in Central Park after the show.
Oh, they created a diner.
They created this Chanel Diner and had this like really...
I don't know.
Yummy.
There's a Ralph Lauren restaurant and a there was like a Gucci one for a while, so I thought maybe Chanel was opening a restaurant.
No, it was just for last night.
With hot dogs. Did Carl have a hot dog?
I'm not sure.
I think Carl would eat a hot dog, don't you?
I feel like he would do it like ironically.
With
like,
his Diet Coke.
I love probably. Hot dogs.
Is that your Karl Lagerfeld accent?
Yeah, it was not really that good. Okay. I love hot dogs.
Before we let you go, is there anything we should have asked you that we didn't ask you that you've like always wanted to share with everyone?
People sometimes ask me what it's like to be a woman creating products for women. And so it's made me think about it because, of course, I admire all these amazing male makeup artists. They're super creative and do an amazing job. But I guess the difference would be is that I actually do wear makeup every day and I know how it feels. I mean, I'm sure everybody does. But I think I pay a lot of attention to that, to the comfort of makeup and textures and how those colors and textures make you feel and, you know, how they can change your mood, how they can, like, you know, support your looks.
Yeah, that's an important point. You don't want to walk around, like a guy will be like, oh, orange on the eyes all season. And then it's like, I don't see you wearing it. So it's exactly. A very good point.
Well, but I did do red on the eyes.
So. That's true. And we're going to get Jess to do a waterline someday. Right, Jess?
I don't know. I got to consult with my ophthalmologist.
If Lucia Pica does your makeup, come on.
I don't know.
We'll talk offline.
I'm happy with my highlighter stick, with my gloss stick. Okay. I think you did well there. So yeah.
Thank you.
This was so much fun. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you, Lucia.
It was really fun. Thanks.
Raise a wand.
I like the chant. That's good. Do you want me to go first?
Go first.
I feel like you were clapping at me to go.
Yeah.
Okay. So I never use exfoliators because I'm worried about being sensitive.
You never exfoliate?
Not often. And I always tell people to, but I don't do it myself. Weird. So, but I know I need to. And even a facialist told me. So I went back to an oldie but a goodie and I want to recommend it for sensitive types.
Sure.
Sonia Dekar's Flash Facial.
Oh, that's a good product. Yeah.
It's one of those gommage products, and I looked this up. Gommage is what the French call it, which is basically eraser. But the physical manipulation of your fingertips with the ingredients starts to slough off the top layer of your skin, almost like rubber cement balls. I don't know if I've raised a wand to this before.
I don't think you have.
It's so satisfying. So you put on the little gel, and then you like sort of rub in a circular motion, and it just the top layer of skin just sort of like peels off. The weirdest thing for me though is that even though it tingles a little, no sensitivity. It's really nice. Like, you get rid of that skin. I think maybe it's because it's a physical manipulation, not a true chemical manipulation. But this product is like, it's $95, not cheap. But you get like a good 10 treatments out of it, and like once a week, and you're like golden. It's like a baby's butt.
I think
skin
you get
underneath.
Even more out of it. I know this product. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess maybe you're right. I know. I've had it for like a couple months because I only use it once a week. So yeah. Flash Facial from Sonia Dekar.
Very nice.
What are you raising a wand to?
I think regular listeners of the podcast will know that like I'm not a huge retinol user. I haven't always had the best experience with it. But
Dr. Dendy convinced you last week.
I did find a retinol that I have really been loving, and I've actually seen results with practically immediately. Okay,
oh.
My skin.
This is what you were worried about. Who's to say 1 week I'll see results? You were asking Dendy.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like I didn't even use this because of the episode. It was kind of like I got this product, I started using it. The Clark's Botanicals Retinol Rescue Face Serum. I got it from, you know, just got it like in a, you know, a mailing. And I started using it. I love the smell. The smell's amazing, which is weird for retinol. I love the texture. It's thin. It doesn't like feel tacky or like, you know.
How's the sensitivity issue?
Zero, baby.
Really?
I use it at night.
Okay.
Okay. And then I just put it on dry skin. I put like a cream over it. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, I feel fine.
Do it without the cream. I want to get single variable to see if
it really works. Okay, sure.
But it works
for you. I will. And I have noticed my skin feels more, it feels smoother. Mm-hmm. I get a more even tone. My skin feels firmer. And also, I had live in an old building with like the radiator, you know, with that horrible like pre-war heat.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
like,
it gets real dry in winter.
Horrible, horrible. I don't feel dried out.
And which retinol usually does.
Yeah, I feel fine. Hmm. So I'm going to keep using this, but I have to say, like, I am so excited about this product, and I am really convinced of it. It's not cheap. It's $105, but it's good. It has colloidal oatmeal in it, so I think that may help buffer some of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good
also
one.
Also has hexapeptide in it, so that's good for plumping, too.
Oh, we did learn about... I didn't ask about hexa. I asked about polypeptides.
But you got those peptides in it. It's and the oatmeal, so I think that definitely helps.
Ooh, that's a good one. Thanks for the recommendation.
Sure. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.